And I'd like to say, you know, before I start here, I know that in our generations, people have had rough lives. They really have. There's people that's had a lot worse life than I did, and I understand that. I'm not trying to compare lives with anybody, but I would like for people to understand that the Bible that we read, a lot of people, when I was a sinner, the Bible had no meaning to me because I didn't know what was in it. And till you know something, till you know, not somebody else knows, but till you know, things don't really have a meaning to it. I've heard people say, Mom, I'm ready to lose a loved one, and you'll feel for them, but that don't touch you until it knocks on your door and it comes to your house. Then it's got a whole different meaning. And a lot of people go to church. My mom went to church off and on, and I found out years later my dad had been saved and was a backslider and full of the Holy Ghost at one time. But you would have never known that. So people go to church, people go golfing, people go bowling. And in my lifetime, that's the way I looked at it, because I never seen anything that would make me think that there was something to the Bible or something to church. And so you have to know for yourself. And I'm just saying all this because when I share this testimony of what God's done for me, I don't say it to get pity or anything of that nature. I'm talking about me and nobody else. You see, when it happened to me, when it took place in my life, it became real. I'm telling you, it became real. And I could sit and listen to somebody before I got to know the Lord, and it didn't mean a thing to me. It didn't mean nothing. Because I was so deceived and lived a life that where I didn't trust nobody anyway, so it didn't matter to me what they went through. Life was about me and my circumstances until I met him. So it's good to be here, and I just wanted to share that so that people would understand when I talk, they understand where I'm coming from. I appreciate my wife. I love her. Appreciate my daughter-in-laws. I got four of them, and they're all saved, and they're all talented. I have 15 grandchildren. You know, the devil told me I'd never have nothing. That's what he tells you. You won't have nothing, and you'll never be nothing. But I'm blessed, and I appreciate the Lord. In this spirit, the love we feel here tonight, money couldn't buy that. Money couldn't buy that. So I was raised in Covington, Kentucky. I was born in 1949, and my dad was a musician, country and western singer. And I don't know if people remember, but there was a station on the TV called the Midwestern Hayride on WLW. You have to remember that we came from a generation where there was no computers, no cell phones, no air conditions, no microwaves. And the TV we had was a black and white, and you had three stations, 5, 9, and 12. And you had to shut the curtains and close the doors in order to see the screen at night because the TV is in such bad shape. And it was black and white. So that's where we came from, see? Different generation. Different, same kind of world, just different generation. So the wisdom of man and the knowledge of man has really increased. My. So I was born into a family. My mom worked at a dime store in Covington, Kentucky as a waitress behind the counter. And my dad was a musician. He was a drunkard. He never would work. He always thought he was going to be a big movie star. He was on TV. On the Midwestern Hayride, and so he spent his life pretty much pursuing his career and not taking care of his family. I was the fourth child born. There were six of us in the family. I had three sisters ahead of me. I was the first boy born, and when they called my dad and told him that he had a boy finally, he was playing music, and he was drunk, and he said, name him Philip. And at that time, that was a bad name to name anybody, because that was the name of a popular cigarette at the time, Philip Morris. And so I got teased a lot in my lifetime. I wouldn't hardly tell nobody my last name. I'd just say Philip. And they'd make fun of that because Philip Morris, little guy on TV, would come on and holler for Philip Morris. And it was really embarrassing to grow up with a name like that. So I was born with club feet. Had to wear certain shoes. I was born cross-sided. I was so cross-sided that I couldn't look at people. They'd laugh at me because when I look at them, they'd turn around to see who I was looking at. And I'd be looking straight at them, and they'd start laughing. So when I talked to people, I talked with my head down. I didn't look at people. And we were poor. I didn't know we was poor, but we were poor. We walked 2 miles to school, put cardboard in our shoes, had one pair of shoes, and they were hand-me-downs, and we'd put cardboard in them, and we would use them up until we couldn't put no more cardboard in them. And we'd walk to school. We lived in a project, and of course, Mom and worked at the dime store, and she had change. I learned to do a lot of things that wasn't right when I was young. In order to survive, we was very hungry. I always stayed hungry, seemed like. And they had a donut truck that would come up on that project early in the morning before school and blow that horn and go around the different areas. And Mom would give us enough money to buy one dozen donuts if you could catch the truck. My job was to catch that donut truck. Now, if I missed him, we didn't get breakfast. I never did miss that truck. I want you to know. And we had two donuts apiece. There was a dozen. We had six of us. Two donuts apiece. Well, the guy, later on I found out, would always give me 13 donuts because he felt sorry for me because I had to run after him. Of course, I'd eat that donut before I got to the house. I wouldn't tell nobody, you know. So we would get our breakfast. That's how we ate breakfast. We didn't have lunch. I'm sad to say we didn't have lunch. We were poor, I'm telling you, and I would eat lunch out of garbage cans at school, to be honest with you. People, they had lunch, and they'd bring lunch, and they'd take a bite off of it, throw it away. I'd grab it. I was just that way. But our life was in that state, you know. We had it rough, and so Mom worked at the dime store. Dad, he would never hardly come home, and when he did, it wasn't good because then Mom would tell him all the things we did wrong while he was gone, and then he would take things into his own hand, take care of us, you know. So life was pretty tough, and at the age of 4 years old. The state came and took us away from our parents, put us in a home. We were in a home for about a year. I was 4 years old, stayed till I was five. They separated my sisters from me, so I didn't get to see them much. And the only thing I remember about that home was this big woman would put me in a bed and raise that bed up, and she'd stuff hominy in my mouth. And she'd tell me hominy was good, and I had to eat it. And if I didn't eat it, I couldn't get out of that bed. Well, I learned to outsmart that lady. I'd wait till she got out of the room, and I climbed out of that bed, and they had a big old register, steam register, and I'd shove that hominy down that register, climb back up in the bed with that tray. She'd come in there and pat me on the head and say, "You're a good boy, you ate it all." So I learned that you could get around things at a young life. Life was pretty bad. It really was. At the age of 10 years old, I was getting ready for school. We lived in a project. Dad, I heard her screaming and crying. I ran downstairs, found out my dad had come home. Him and my mom got into it. He hit my mom, broke her back, broke her arm, and ran out of the house. So my mom laid in a hospital for a while with a cask. I used to sit on the steps and say, "Why was I born into this family? Why was life like this?" We don't pick our parents. We don't pick our home. We just were born into this world, and that's where it goes. Mom, you would tell me, she would say, "You're never going to be any good. You're never going to be raised to do anything. It's in your blood." She said, "You'll always be like your dad and his family." My dad had a brother that came out of the military. and he had mental problems. Him and his cousin went hunting together, got to drinking. My dad's brother killed his cousin and buried him over a rabbit. We came from a wicked family, hardcore family. They always tell me, you're going to be just like them. There ain't no sense of you trying to do anything else. You're just like them. Well, you grow up believing that. After a while, you grow up believing those things. And so you lose sight of everything else in life. I did. I could care less what people thought.